Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. These famous and tender lines from the song Away in a Manger capture the love of the church for Christ. For God so loved the world, John declares in one of the most well-known scriptures, that he gave his only son. The love of God brought the most incredible love story to life. Jesus came into this world and left the glory of heaven to save us. The love of God incarnate was lived out among us. Ever since the manger, the love of God has empowered others to love sacrificially like Jesus. The love of God gives vision to believers to imagine that even the hardest heart can soften and change. You can probably think of many such stories. One that stands out from history is the story of St. Patrick. He's known now as the patron saint of Ireland, but he wasn't Irish. And you probably don't think about him at Christmas. When you hear his name, you might think of March, St. Patrick's Day, and the color green. So travel back with me over 1,000 years to a small village in Scotland, way back in the 4th century. A young teenager is out in the fields on another beautiful day in the countryside that he loves. But suddenly, violent men storm into the area with torches and swords. These Irish raiders burn down his village. The pillagers loot farms and homes like his, steal cattle and any riches they can find, and they capture slaves. Patrick is taken from his family, bound, kidnapped, dragged, kicking and screaming to Ireland. He is only 15 years old, and he's forced to work as a shepherd, cut off from his family, separated from his community alone. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? So much trauma, fear, sadness, grief. But it was in these circumstances that Patrick found God in those 7 long years he was a shepherd of those Irish sheep. Then at the age of 22, he escaped. What would you do? Go home to see who is still alive, of course. Find your family and friends. But then what? Gather a group of men, pick up weapons, get revenge, fight back. Most of us probably would, but not this young man. Despite the terrible circumstances, the love of God found Patrick and reached into his heart. In those lonely years that he was forced to be a shepherd, he learned to hear God's voice in the quiet fields, just like David. And he started to understand what the incarnation really means, to leave everything you love and live among the lost, just like Jesus did. After he escaped, Patrick went back to Ireland, but not for revenge. He went to share God's love of his own will. Patrick returned to Ireland to preach the gospel to the very people who enslaved him. And he worked as a missionary among the Irish for the rest of his life. From the outside looking in, that might sound crazy. And it was. The crazy incarnational love of God at work that changed an entire nation. The love of God changes us, surprises us, and moves us to love others in unexpected ways. It's that very love that moved God to send his son as a little babe in a manger so we could be saved. Let this love fill your heart and boldly move you this Advent season. Amen.
Is it going to be Christmas? Is that exciting? Okay, so my storybook is The Silent, Noisy Night by Jill Roman Lord. Okay, so it may have been a silent night when Jesus came to earth. It may have been a noisy night to celebrate his birth. You see all those animals? Yes, yeah, see the animals? I wonder if the cows all mooed. Can you guys moo? Moo. And I wonder if the horses neighed. Could little goats have bleated and led the grand parade? While chickens clucked and duckies quacked to celebrate the day, the birdies chirped and the donkeys brayed, and the mice all squeaked with joy. The angels broke the silence on the hillside with the song. They sang their alleluias to the shepherds hummed along. I think the sheep began to baa. Can you guys baa? Baa. Can you do that? You guys are being so shy. And the raccoons made a peep. The crickets chirped and the coyotes howled. Can you guys howl? Howl. Can you do that? No creature stayed asleep. The shepherds must have hollered as they spread the news around. Perhaps the town folk danced and sang and added to the sound. The camels must have snorted when the eastern star appeared. And when the kings arrived at last, I wonder if they cheered. With moos and neighs and bleats of joy, with clucks and quacks of praise, the animals all celebrated in their special ways. With chirps and squeaks and brays and peeps and angels singing proud, with shouts and dancing, snorts and cheers, it must have been quite loud. Yes, Jesus is our Savior, a gift from God above. He brings us hope and peace and joy and everlasting love. It's hard to stay so silent when we've heard the greatest news. Let's celebrate our Savior's birth with neighs and chirps and moos. But that's not right, because we are not those horses, cows, and birds, but we can celebrate our Lord with actions, songs, and words. Let's spread the love of Jesus and good news with delight. Let's share his peace and joy like that from the noisy Christmas night. Moo and Merry Christmas.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim. To the land of perfect day, it will give out. shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us a lamp to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star.
Thank you. this morning with Hope Was Born This Night. Finish this morning with Joy to the World.
Turn with me in your Bibles I will be reading a number of different scriptures here this morning. And I will begin in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. It is not enough to try the patience of men. Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Then let's turn to Luke 24. And we're going to look at verses 50 to 53. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. And our final scripture this morning is going to be from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 16 and 17. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, and with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." May God bless the reading of his word. And now we will have Brother Pat Earl, and he is going to come and give us the morning message.
Actually, I'm not going to give you the morning message. I'm going to point out that it's all around you already. If you look at this beautiful sanctuary, you can see that the Lord's house has been decorated appropriately for the season. And I want to simply point out what it's here and make sure that you understand the meaning of it. And to help that, and I'm going to begin by saying, please forgive me with the weakness of my voice. The past 3 weeks, I've been through some difficult times. I had a heart cath done and things were kind of exciting there during that procedure. It was only supposed to be about 45 minutes and end up being over 3 hours. So it was kind of rough, but I'm back. And the good Lord blessed me, and so we're here. And the other thing is that I got a kind of a congestion that developed then, and now it's affecting my voice. So forgive me for that. The devil will do anything he can do to slow people down when he can. So we just have to persist against his efforts, and that's what we're going to do today. I have asked, and Sister Judy did it, would work through the congregation for me, for a couple visual aids this morning to help make my point about being ready to receive our King. In the season of Advent, and then you move immediately into Christmas, that's what it's all about. It's receiving King Jesus into our lives, or remembering that and celebrating it, but also preparing for it. And I'll explain why I add that on there. But right now I'm going to invite Sister Mary and her baby to come out before us if she will come. Who's that in her arms? Anybody want to hazard a guess? I did say it was Mary. That's supposed to be the baby Jesus, absolutely. I want to thank her for doing that. It's easy for us to think that Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus, the baby, the child, and focus on the manger. And what a beautiful depiction we have here. Thank you for being able to do that for me and make the point to the congregation. Jesus' first coming was still, even though as a baby, our King. Wise men followed a star, and they came to a king saying, "Hey, where is the king that this star is up in the heavens about? We've seen it. We know he's going to be born somewhere around here. Can you give us any kind of guidance? And of course, Herod did all he could do to try to make things rough for Jesus, for Joseph, Mary. And yet they persisted. And Jesus then actually, with his mom and dad, did a flight to Egypt to avoid some of the hardships that were imposed upon the people. We tend to forget that Herod made a decree that all young male childs under the age of 2 were put to the sword. They were killed so that the king would not be raised up and take his throne away from him. That was his anger and his bitterness. That was the work of the devil in that time. Thank you very much. You may go again. Now, you had 3 scriptures this morning. The first one was Old Testament prophecy about the birth of Jesus. The second one was a New Testament description of the ascension of Jesus. His, as a grown man, being taken up and away from our sight. The disciples were with him. And it says he was caught up in a cloud. And then in one of the versions that describes what happened in the Gospels, it says that an angel or a man appeared by the disciples and said, "Why are you standing here looking up in the clouds?" This same man, this Jesus, is going to come again the same way he has departed. And I want you to understand that, because as we celebrate during this time and season and we prepare our hearts to receive King Jesus first as the child, and he had to leave as an adult male, he's going to return and come through the clouds as the king. So I'm going to invite King Jesus to step outside at this time. You'll note that he's wearing a crown. I wanted to emphasize that fact. When Jesus comes the next time, he's not going to be an infant, lowly or weak or humble. This time, Jesus is coming in power. And that's exactly how the scripture describes it. He will come in power, and the heavens will be filled with his glory. And then he will receive his people up into the sky. It says, and I get excited when I read it, that we're going to be caught up too in the air and drawn to him. All who believe and have waited and have anticipated the coming of King Jesus. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. I wanted those 2 visual aids to really make the point that in this season, this time of the year, we call Advent and Christmas, that sometimes we get lost in the commercialism. Sometimes we get caught up in what's happening in society. And we don't think about the Word of God and the will of God and how important it is for us to prepare our hearts to receive King Jesus. First is the child, yes. He had to come, and we praise God that he did. But now we also anticipate, and that's what the word Advent means. Did you know that Advent actually has 2 meanings? It means coming, but it also means coming again. If you look it up, you will find that that is the truth. When we celebrate Advent, and I think God has always been able to let his word shine through whatever we do, whether we're singing, whether we're praying, whether we're witnessing, whether we're reading scripture, it doesn't matter. The truth and the power of his word will shine through. He wants us to know that his first coming as a child had to take place. Then he had to leave for a while. That's the ascension. And now, in this day and age, we, along with the presence of the Holy Spirit, await and prepare ourselves to receive the King Jesus again, but this time as ruler in power and in glory. I'm going to step down here a minute, and if you can't hear me, stick your hands up. You see your Advent wreath. And they lit the candles this morning. I noticed the pink one's been consumed. It's gone. That's okay. That's why they were there. You'll note the colors of the candles in the back. They can be either purple, as these are, or
they can be blue. A very, what we call royal blue. Why blue and purple? For the very reason of the word I just used. Those colors depict royalty, kingship, majesty. So it's appropriate to use purple and blue, and each one of them signifies, as you know by the banners on the back, and if you want a cheap look, you're welcome to. First, hope, that candle is lit. Then peace, that candle is lit. Then joy, which is the pink candle that's now gone. And then finally, the fourth candle, which is love. The royal colors of purple, and the pink, by the way, actually, it describes it as being rose. It should be red. It should be a red candle, not a pink candle. But that's okay. Almost all the churches have a trouble finding a red candle. And quite often, pink is used instead. Those candles also represent something else. The candle of hope represents the first scripture, the prophets, and the prophecy of the day is coming. The candle of peace represents the angels speaking to the shepherds about the peace that was coming to mankind. The candle of joy represents the love that all believers have in their hearts when we find out about salvation coming through Jesus Christ. And that's the songs that were sung earlier about the way made through the cross. And what Jesus, where is we can line up to see Jesus. We need to think more about that than we do Santa Claus. Santa Claus is a wonderful thing. I'm not going to rain on that parade. He was a saint too. He loved children. And he wanted to show that love. And he did it with little sweets and gifts. And thus the legend was born. But greater than Santa Claus is King Jesus. And we need to prepare our hearts to receive him in our lives. And the fourth candle was the candle of love. Now I've got to confess, I've always been confused by that. It's also known as the candle of faith and the candle of Bethlehem. Okay? But I thought Jesus is love. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to save us, Jesus. So I was confused by that. But it's not talking about Jesus who personifies love and God's love for us. It's talking about the love that should grow in us because of our committed relationship to God. See, we're broken. Back in the Garden of Eden, our relationship with God was broken. That's why they were blocked from being in the garden. They were cast out. And God knew there was no way to restore that brokenness. Nothing we could do or try or say could ever heal that brokenness. So God knew there was only one way for it to happen. Jesus came. And he took our place on the cross. He took the punishment for the sins we committed. He who knew no sin bore the sins of all the men and women of the world. And he died, which is the price for sin that all of us should pay. But he paid so we don't have to. That's why Jesus is so important. He came as a child. He was still a king. Wise men came. He will come again as a king, not a child, but he will establish God's eternal kingdom, and we who believe will get to join him and reign, live in that kingdom on that day. The final candle hasn't been lit. It's the tall one, the big white one. It's called the price candle. That's to be lit Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. They are having Christmas Eve service. So that's when you light it. It symbolizes the light of the world that comes in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It symbolizes the light making darkness flee, running away. And you know, it doesn't matter. If we blocked all these windows in here and cut off all the lights and made this room as pitch black as we could possibly make it. And like one candle, just one, the himself, took on a flesh and blood body, just like us, so that he could save us from ourselves and restore us to the eternal kingdom of heaven. That's what Christmas is really about. So when she sang the song, "Where's the Lamb to See Jesus?" it was very apropos. If you don't do anything else Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, make sure you share with your children the importance of this season we call Advent and Christmas. Hope and peace and joy and love are all wrapped up in one called Jesus. And God did it because we could, so that we could be with Him for all eternity. Now I know you've heard it already, but I've got to tell you right now, Merry Christmas. May God bless you. The word itself means Christ, the chosen, the anointed one, mass, worship. Make sure you do. Worship Christ. He deserves it. He has saved you.